The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
New York Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Today's show is coming to you on Thursday, April 30th, as we continue to roll through the offseason here for the New York Giants, continue to discuss some of the fallout from the 2020 NFL draft and from some of the roster moves that the Giants have made, as Joe Judge and Dave Gettleman try to put together a better roster for the Giants in the upcoming season after the Giants have gone through a couple of years where I think it's 12 wins for the Giants in the last three seasons. Hopefully things are going to get better with new head coach Joe Judge. What appears to be a pretty good draft class, perhaps a third straight good draft class for general manager Dave Gettleman. Few things to talk about with you on today's show. We're going to feature a couple of interviews that I did regarding draft prospects. First, Andy York of SB Nation's The Daily Gopher, that covers the Minnesota Golden Gophers, is going to come on and talk about late round draft picks Carter Coughlin, the linebacker, and Chris Williamson, the cornerback, both of whom were seventh-round picks. We're also going to speak with Lando Landers Nolan of SB Nation's Black Shoe Diaries. Lando will be joining us to talk about sixth-round pick Cam Brown, the Nittany Lions linebacker, who was the first of four linebackers the Giants drafted with their final five draft choices over the weekend. So we'll talk to both of those guys about what we might expect from some of the new Giants. Wanted to talk about a couple of things before we get to those interviews, though. Giants made a couple of interesting moves this week as they continue to try to build their roster for the 2020 season. They used a rarely used tender on unrestricted free agent Marcus Golden in an effort to perhaps bring Golden back at a fairly low cost for the 2020 season. All in all, I think that tender would cost the Giants just a little bit more than $5 million if Golden were to sign it and meet the incentives that that are apparently part of that as well. Interesting move, rarely used move, you know, by the Giants to use a tender on an unrestricted free agent. What they're really trying to do here, what people need to understand, is that as of today, Golden has not signed that tender. He is not part of the New York Giants. He won't be part of the Giants roster until and unless he signs that tender. What the Giants have really done here is taking a shot at keeping Golden for a year on a fairly low budget low-cost deal. They've pretty much set the market here by saying, you know, people, other NFL teams who might want him, you know, this is the market. It's $4.1 or $4.2 million plus incentives. And, you know, if you're going to want Marcus Golden, you know, most likely you're going to have to beat that dollar amount. Marcus Golden obviously did not see the market that he thought he might see after a 10-sack season with the Giants in 2019. Didn't get the multi-year, you know, big money offers he might have anticipated getting in free agency. But this is the Giants who weren't able to come to a deal with Jadeveon Clowney. They weren't really able to find a way to get Yannick Ngakoue out of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They weren't able to find a top-tier pass rusher in the draft. This is the Giants taking a shot here at keeping Marcus Golden and perhaps upgrading their pass rush in 2020. The Giants also claimed Montre Hartage, defensive back. I believe he plays safety from the Miami Dolphins on waivers. Perhaps not surprising since Patrick Graham was defensive coordinator in Miami a year ago. That's just the Giants adding some depth, you know, in the back of their defense. They also added, you know, Chris Williamson in the draft. And they added, you know, Xavier McKinney in the draft as well. So the Giants, obviously, although they've spent a lot of resources on the defensive backfield in recent years, they're obviously still trying to upgrade there. They've set up a lot of competition in training camp, whenever we get to training camp. So we'll see how all of that plays out. But Gettleman and Joe Judge both said over the weekend, you know, that something that Gettleman has said before: roster building is a 12-month process. It's ongoing. Just because the bulk of free agency is done, just because the draft is done, doesn't mean that your roster is set. Doesn't mean that you're done trying to find ways to improve your football team. And the Giants have proven that this week with the moves that they made on Hartage and on Golden. We'll see what happens whenever we get to a training camp situation, a preseason situation, as other players maybe become available. We'll see if the Giants make more moves, you know, in an effort to continue turning over and continue trying to improve their roster for the 2020 season. All right, Giants fans, let's do this right now. Let's take a short break here for a word from our sponsors. After that, you will hear interviews, first with Andy York of the Daily Gopher, as we talk about Carter Coughlin and Chris Williamson, and then with Lando Landers Nolan of Black Shoe Diaries, as we talk about Cam Brown.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, Giants fans, I'm joined now by Andy York of SB Nation's The Daily Gopher, which covers the Minnesota Golden Gophers football team. Obviously, the Giants drafted a pair of players from Minnesota in the 7th round of the draft. So we'll talk about those, and I'm joined now by Andy York. Andy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on. So, you know, two Minnesota players taken by the Giants in the 7th round. Any surprise for you that either of those players were drafted, or went so late in the draft?
Yeah, you know, with Carter Coughlin, no surprise he was drafted. You know, most mock drafts I'd seen had him going anywhere between the 5th and the 7th round. You know, his biggest thing going for him is he's a bit of tweener in size. You know, he played sort of more of a rush end type for Minnesota, but originally has more of a linebacker type body. You know, so that's his biggest downfall and probably why he dropped to the seventh round. Chris Williamson, it's a little bit of a surprise he got drafted. You know, I saw a couple of mocks that had him going in the seventh round, but I think the general consensus was he was going to be one of those sort of priority undrafted free agent type players. And you almost wonder if sort of the COVID thing had to deal with some of these players who teams might have wanted to not necessarily get into bidding wars for, but they wanted to get on the roster. I know, taking a look at the Minnesota Vikings, who I follow, they did that with a lot of their picks, drafting players in the seventh round so that they would have, their own negotiating rights rather than having to bid with other teams. So, a little surprised Williamson went, but glad he's going to be in New York, and hopefully he can play well off to get a roster spot.
All right, so let's actually go individually. We'll talk about both of these guys. Let's talk about Carter Coughlin first. Obviously, it's funny because I did a bunch of simulated mock drafts before the real draft. I was doing one every Sunday, just your basic seven-round mock, just to give Giants fans something to talk about. And because of the last name, because of Tom Coughlin, just for grins, pretty much, I threw Carter Coughlin into the end of a couple of those mock drafts. And just to use the Coughlin name, and lo and behold, they drafted Carter Coughlin, seventh round. So what exactly are the Giants getting here? And is this a guy who really can contribute to an NFL defense?
Yeah, Carter Coughlin, you're getting a kid that has incredible heart, incredible football IQ. He knows where he needs to be on the field at all times, and he's going to do his best to get where he needs to be to help his team out. As I said, the lack of size is going to be Coughlin's major downfall, and maybe why he projects more as a really good special teams player than he does a starter as a linebacker in the NFL. But Carter, he played rush end for Minnesota, basically. Take your pick how you want to put it. If you're not familiar with Minnesota's defense, he sort of was more of a cross between an outside backer in a 3-4 and a D end in a 4-3, but did a lot of containing the run, did a lot of rushing the passer. Ended up 22 and a half sacks for Minnesota, puts him third all time in school history. So he can get to the quarterback. I think he if he gets the opportunity and works with the Giants for a few years, I think he has a potential to be a nice blitzing outside backer. But I think that where you're going to really see him make a difference, at least initially, is going to be on special teams. He's going to be that special teams dynamo that he'll bust his butt down there and make a tackle, whether it be on the kick coverage or the punt coverage. He'll lay a big block out to try and spring a return man. He just has that football IQ. He knows where he needs to be, and he gets there and he does his job. That's the best thing you can ask of a football player.
And it sounds like he's done both on the as an outside linebacker. He's played a little bit with his hand in the ground and standing up as well.
Yeah, he has. He started out his career as a true outside linebacker, and then in Minnesota's new set under P.J. Fleck, moved more to this rush end type for his junior or senior year, where he really was, both used as a designated pass rusher trying to get to the quarterback, and as a bit of a run containment on the outside. So he's got experience with both his hand in the grass and stand up. Like I said, his IQ is off the charts. His football IQ, he'll be able to adapt to wherever the Giants want to use him. The biggest thing is going to be getting him, continued to grow some size, at what is he here? I've got his numbers here. Sorry. At, 6'3", 236. He's probably obviously smaller than you'd like to see for a rush end, but yeah, he's got some room to grow. He's a bigger linebacker. It's just going to be getting that strength and that speed build up. But like I said, he'll be a special teams dynamo. He'll do whatever he needs to do to get the job done. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if he works his way onto the Giants roster doing that this fall.
Nice. It was so weird because the Giants drafted out. They had 10 picks, four of them in the seventh round. And four of their last five picks are guys that play either off the ball or outside linebacker. So they're looking for something there, with no doubt about that.
No, it's true. And, you know, and he's got some good connections in the area. Ryan Connolly, who you guys drafted a year ago, he was a high school teammate. He ended up going to Wisconsin at Minnesota, but the Gophers were trying to recruit him as well. High school teammate of Carter Coughlin. Blake Cashman, who played for the New York Jets, obviously different team, but same stadium, same area, also was a high school teammate of Connolly and Cashman. Cashman, of course, went to the U and came out after his senior year last year. So, you know, all three linebackers from the same high school. So you can tell that Eden Prairie High School in Minnesota is putting some quality players into the NFL.
Certainly sounds like it. I know that the Giants are really high on Ryan Connolly. Unfortunately, had his rookie season short-circuited, I believe, after only three games, you know, by a knee injury. And if he comes back and doesn't lose anything physically from the injury that he suffered, then he should be a good player for the Giants.
Yeah, you know, it's that same. They're very similar in their playing style, I think. So, you know, I think the Connolly has a little bit better chance of, like you said, seeing more standard defense playing time. But I wouldn't give any doubt to Coughlin working his way up over the course of a season or two.
All right, Andy. So let's talk a little bit about Chris Williamson now. You know, the Giants have. Since Dave Gettleman became general manager at the end of the 2017 season. So this is now three off seasons with Gettleman in charge. They have spent a lot of draft and free agent capital at the cornerback position. Obviously, you know, the prevailing theory that I agree with is that you can never have enough, you know, enough quality defensive backs. Where in a defensive backfield does Williamson fit? Is he an inside corner? Is he an outside corner? You know, where do you think he'll compete, you know, for a role with the Giants?
Yeah, you know, I think Williamson probably fits more as an inside corner. You know, he was at Minnesota for two seasons after transferring from Florida and started his junior season in 2018 more as an outside corner and struggled a little bit, to be honest. You know, didn't quite get the fit for the role. Late in 2018 and then all the senior season last year, he was moved inside as the nickel corner for Minnesota, and that's where he really started to excel. You know, he's really good at covering slot receivers, really good at playing on the ball, coming up in run protection and making stops that way. So I think if Williamson's going to make an impact, it's definitely going to be at that inside corner spot.
Now, If I understand correctly, he transferred from Florida, looked mostly like he battled injuries at Florida, and it was really sort of opportunity-based, where it just looked like he wasn't going to get playing time at Florida. There weren't any off-the-field or outside issues that caused him to leave Florida, if I'm correct.
Yep, that's correct. It's just he was sort of stuck behind a couple players at a place like Florida. You know, they bring in high-tier recruits every single year. So all it takes is getting trapped behind one or two new guys, and you don't really see any opportunities to earn playing time. So, you know, he looked and he transferred. And P.J. Flack, since he took over the University of Minnesota job, has been looking for some of those, you know, major team transfers to come in. We've gotten players from Florida, Alabama, Notre Dame, who was transferred into Minnesota and made pretty immediate impacts. So, you know, Williamson was looking for a spot. Minnesota gave him that chance, and I think he took advantage because obviously if he had stayed in his current situation in Florida, I don't think we'd be talking about him as a seventh-round NFL draft pick.
Oh, you're probably right about that. And just tell me a little bit about you said that he really excelled once Minnesota moved him into the slot. Tell me a little bit more, if you can, about his skill set and whether you believe that he has the ability to be an NFL slot corner.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's definitely a fairly good on ball type corner. You know, he's maybe why he excelled a little bit more on the inside. It's he's not one of those guys that's going to be able to run with some of the best receivers in the NFL for 20, 30 yards downfield. He's definitely better off in that, you know, short set where he's dealing with shorter routes in the middle of the field. You know, at times he can be too aggressive. Both on the ball and in tackling, he did, you know, have a bit of a trouble with missing some tackles, trying to overextend himself a few times. You know, to be perfectly honest, I think Williamson's going to be one of those guys that's going to be on the edge. Is he going to probably win a roster spot in 2020? I honestly don't think so, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him heads on as a practice squad guy and potentially, you know, work his way onto the roster one way or another here in a couple years or two. You know, I think he'll obviously have some competition for that roster spot. It sounds like the Giants are pretty well loaded at the corner spot as well. So he'll really have to make an impact in fall camp to try and win a job. Is it possible? Yeah, but I think Williamson might be one of those guys that sort of is right on that roster bubble onto whether he you know, can try and secure a job or whether he's probably more likely practice squad bound.
All right, Andy, I think that's about all I had for you. I really appreciate your taking the time and, you know, giving us some insight into two of the newest Giants. So thank you very much. And hopefully a year from now, maybe these guys will actually contribute and we'll get to talk about what they actually did for the Giants.
Definitely. It'd be great to see, you know, as many Gophers as possible get into the NFL and have great careers, and you know, no better place to do it than the biggest media market in the world, New York City.
All right. Thank you much. And we'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
All right, Giants fans. I'm joined now by Lando Landers Nolan of SB Nation's Penn State website, Black Shoe Diaries. And Lando is here to talk about the sixth round pick for the Giants. That would be Cam Brown, linebacker. So, Lando, how you doing? And thank you very, very much for coming on the show.
Doing all right. It's nice to be here.
So I hear before we get into this too far, I hear that you're a big Giants fan.
Yeah. I started watching the Giants around 95, 96. So I got Rodney Hampton was my first kind of favorite Giants player. I also lived through the Dave Brown years and then the Fossil era. I cried myself to sleep when the Ravens beat them in the Super Bowl. I've been through a lot with the Giants for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, there's good, there's bad. And, you know, it's been a bad stretch for the Giants the last few years. Hopefully things are going to be looking up here. You know, this draft class is an interesting one. And I need to... You know, so let's talk a little bit about Cam Brown, because he kicked off a really interesting last couple of rounds for the Giants in this draft. They selected in their last five picks, they had four seventh round picks, and they selected four linebackers out of those five picks. So, you know, it's an interesting it's sort of an interesting way to go about stocking the linebacker position. Just quickly tell us, you know, where you think where you think Cam Brown might fit in the equation for the Giants.
So I think Cam, first of all, his biggest assets probably is physicality. He's a huge hitter. That's actually one thing that, you know, Penn State fans had always been accustomed to him seeing him. Was he's always going to hit someone. He's not, I'd say tackling is an area that he improved a lot on throughout his career, but certainly that's an area where he can continue to improve, and having Coach Chaos on staff will help with that, I think. But his physicality is the biggest asset he has, as well as his variety of skills. So I think he can play certainly into the rotation at linebacker, but maybe starting out, his biggest contribution is going to be on special teams. That's where he started at Penn State. He blocked the punt against Ohio State as a freshman. And he's guy is going to come in and is going to bring a variety of skills, including, again, those big hits.
And is he more of a guy that plays, you know, outside linebacker, inside linebacker, or is he a guy that moves all around? And, you know, where do you think he fits, on the outside or maybe, you know, inside off the ball?
So, he played multiple linebacker positions at Penn State, but given his ability to make plays in the passing game as a in coverage, I think that outside linebacker is probably the best position. He's also a little undersized. He's just about 230 pounds, and he's 6'5", so he's a little skinny. So I think the outside position is probably best for him, again, given his range and his ability to cover if need be.
You say that you feel like he can cover, you know, tight ends, running backs out of the backfield, things like that?
Yeah, certainly has the athleticism to do that. You know, he didn't have an interception at Penn State, but he had four pass breakups as a senior, several more in his earlier years as well. So I think definitely he certainly can stay with tight ends in the short to middle passing game for sure.
And what about his pass rush skills coming off the edge?
Well, he certainly got the speed and athleticism. Only had a couple sacks as a senior. Really only had, I think, was five sacks maybe throughout his career. So that's an area that I know when he came to Penn State, they were thinking of him at maybe defensive end. And again, Coach Chaos was, you know, helpful with that. But he never really developed the size. So I think he certainly can get to the quarterback with the speed. But whether he's going to be able to get around blocks, I think he's going to have to use, you know, the finesse moves rather than the power guys or power moves to get around him. So I think he certainly could do that. I think his best position is probably chasing down running backs or, again, covering those tight ends.
All right. So just tell me a little bit, you know, about him, you know, as a person, maybe, you know, what you guys know about him, you know, after being exposed to him for a couple of years at Penn State. Just what kind of guy is he? What are the Giants getting here in the kind of guy they're bringing into their locker room?
So he's got great energy. He's definitely an excitable guy. He's going to fire up the team. He's got a great smile, too. I'm not sure how important that is to Giants fans, but he's definitely going to enjoy playing the game. You know, he's coming onto a roster that already has, you know, Grant Haley and Saquon Barkley, two guys he played with at Penn State. So he's definitely a team-first guy. He's going to, you know, given the fact he's played these multiple positions, he's going to do whatever the team is going to need for him to win. And I think that team-first mentality is really important. He's definitely not a guy as with many Penn State players in the past and currently, that is going to be a me first mentality. He's going to put the team ahead of his own personal goals.
Day three, sixth round of the draft. Is that right around where you guys at Black Shoe Diaries kind of figured that that he might come off the draft board?
Yeah, I think a couple of us were actually surprised that he went when he did. Maybe some other of our writers were thinking maybe undrafted, but I think he definitely was selected right where he kind of fit in that fifth, sixth, or seventh round. And, you know, as a Giants fan, I wanted the Giants to get a linebacker a little earlier, but as a Penn State fan, I'm glad that they got Cam where he did. I think he fits there. I think if his sack numbers had been bigger, if he had a little more tackles, again, if he'd had more, you know, pass defenses or interceptions, maybe he gets up in the draft. And again, if he was a little bigger, but I think the Giants got good value for the pick.
Interesting. You know, he seems like we had a conference call with him earlier this week at a video conference. And it was interesting. It made me chuckle because he did the call, not driving, but he did the call sitting in his car. And I was like, you know, what is up with that? And he's like, and he told the reporter who asked him, you know, about why he was sitting in his car. He said, well, I was working out and I had to leave the workout. So, I mean, so he just seems like kind of a fun, interesting guy. And like you said, he does have a smile. Seems like he has a smile on his face all the time. So you think the Giants are getting just sort of a good guy here, as well as a guy that might be a useful, you know, special teams player, you know, backup linebacker at least initially?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's right where he belongs. And you know, I'm not aware of any practical jokes he might have played, but I just, given the little snippets we've gotten of his personality, I think he could be a jokester as well, for sure.
And what would you say? You know, you look at, you know, day three picks, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh round, and you always, you know, the Giants had, what, six, seven of those this year. And it's always nice to hit on those day three picks. They can really make a big difference in your draft. You know, the Giants were able to hit last year on Darius Slayton in the fifth round. What would you say, you know, look two or three years down the road, you know, for Cam Brown, what would you say might his his role could be or his ceiling could be 2 or 3 years down the line?
I think certainly a couple years down the line, he could develop into a starter at the linebacker position. Certainly, if not a starter, he's going to provide. He's going to be one of those top backups at linebacker. And I think, again, special teams contributor, definitely the first year, maybe the first 2 years, he's going to be a real asset there on special teams. And again, just his ability to compete. And I think he's going to raise the level of the Giants offense, which, you know, they can always use, you know, better talent at receiver and tight end. So I think those positions are going to be strengthened by his presence and his intensity and, you know, kind of motor, you know, the motor he has. But I think defensively, I think if he works the way that we expect him to, I think he's going to develop into the linebacking rotation in the next few years.
All right. All right. So let me ask you, you know, a couple of other guys that I need to ask you about. You mentioned Coach Chaos, Sean Spencer, and we'll get to him in a second. But I wanted to ask you another guy that the Giants signed this offseason. They signed him as a backup defensive tackle, guy that had a pretty good career at Penn State, mm-hmm. ended up as a second-round pick by Tennessee, but never really became more than a rotational guy in Tennessee. We're talking about defensive tackle Austin Johnson. Mm-hmm. I mean, is he a guy who, you know, coming out of Penn State, who maybe should have been expected to be better than what we saw from him in Tennessee?
I certainly thought so. Not to say that he hasn't had games or seasons where he's had moments. You know, one of the things I do for Black Shoe Diaries is I cover the Penn State alums in the NFL. So every once in a while, you know, the Titans will have, you know, whether it's him and Daquan Jones are the kind of seem to trade off who has the bigger game. But, you know, I think I was excited when they signed Austin, but he, you know, he only had kind of a minuscule impact in Tennessee. And I think with the Giants known for their ends kind of being their positions, I think they've always needed help on the inside. It's, you know, that since they lost Snacks, it's been kind of a hole there. So I'm hoping that he can compete for a starting job there, but he's certainly, yeah, the Penn State's had a lot of defensive line talent in the last few years. You know, Devin Still, who people mostly know because of his daughter Leah, but, you know, again, Daquan Jones, and going back farther with, you know, Anthony Adams and Jimmy Kennedy and some of these other guys, he's been a guy that's kind of flew under the radar as far as Penn State's in the league. So I am cautiously optimistic for him, given he has Coach Chaos on staff now to help him. But yeah, I think he did underachieve a little bit so far in the league.
All right, so let's talk about Coach Chaos a little bit, Sean Spencer. How bummed are, you know, Penn State fans that he's not on the staff anymore?
The day that they announced that you know, Coach Chaos was coming to the Giants, I was super conflicted because I was really, really bummed out for Penn State. As a recruiter and a developer of defensive line talent, he has been invaluable to Penn State. I mean, since they lost Larry Johnson, who's, of course, at Ohio State now, you know, signing him was the next best thing they could have as a defensive line coach, given his energy, you know, his Penn State first family attitude, and, of course, the way he's been developing defensive line talent, both the ends and the tackles. So yeah, Penn State fans were pretty bummed out when they lost him. But as a Giants fan, I'm pretty excited to see this defensive line maybe get back to that 2007-2008 caliber.
So what exactly does Coach Spencer bring? You know, I know we hear the phrase Coach Chaos. What are we talking about here when we talk about, you know, Coach Chaos?
High energy, high motor. Something that I'll be interested to see if he does this in the NFL. But with Penn State, he was rotating so many defensive linemen in to playing that really you didn't, you know, nationally, you didn't get to really hear a lot of a lot about players unless they were, you know, of the caliber of a Yeter Gross-Matos. Even though Penn State, you know, behind Gross-Matos, Shaka Toney, you know, Jason Owe, Daniel Joseph, some of the other guys that and Shane Simmons and, you know, these other defensive linemen that were highly recruited, he's going to be a high energy guy. He's going to develop players. And I hope he does do this rotation. I know that's not typical of the NFL usually, but I'll be interested to see how that works because, you know, he's going to be able to get different skill sets working together and helping, you know, to pressure the quarterback and stop the run as well.
All right, Lando. Hey, we appreciate your taking some time to talk to us. We're looking forward to seeing Cam Brown get on the field. We're looking forward to seeing all the Giants rookies get on the field at some point whenever the Giants are able to do that. So as I said, we thank you, you know, very much for coming on. Why don't you just quickly let folks know what Black Shoe Diaries is all about, what folks will find if they check out the website.
So Black Shoe Diaries is again, as you mentioned, it's a Penn State based blogging site. It's under SB Nation. We do weekly content, at least one post a day about Penn State football, Penn State basketball, and all Penn State sports. We also do cover in the professional sports as well. We actually just did a series that's starting to come out where we drafted a fantasy draft of the top Penn State players in the Big Ten era from 1993 to the present. So that draft series will be coming out. If you're a fan of 1990s and 2000s and 2010 college football and you want to check that out, you can check that on our site, blackshoediaries.com.
So how high does Saquon go in that draft?
Oh, he was the first pick. He was the first pick.
There you go.
And my first pick was Courtney Brown, who, you know, was the first pick in the draft when he came out of college, but didn't materialize. Brandon Short for Giants fans was selected as well. And of course, LeVar as another Giants former player.
All right, Lando, thank you very, very much for dropping some knowledge on us. And we'll talk to you again.
All right, great. Thanks for having me.
All right, Giants fans, that's our show for today. We thank you for listening. As always, we encourage you to please join Big Blue View to talk with like-minded Giants fans. Also, please check out our work at Big Blue View on Twitter. Follow Chris and Joe on the Chris and Joe Show on Big Blue View Radio. Subscribe to our podcasts on all of your favorite podcast applications. Check out our work on Instagram at big_blue_view. Check out our work on Facebook. And as always, Giants fans, stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.